This morning, my attention is turned to the second book of Chronicles, the 29th chapter. If you'll turn with me, a few scriptures for our meditation. And it has to do with revival, one of the greatest revivals that it describes in the Old Testament, perhaps. Once a man asked an evangelist, "We said we want revival to sweep our land." And he says, "How can we have revival?" The evangelist answered him and says, "Do you have a place to pray?" And the man said, "Yes. Tell you what to do. Go to that place and take a piece of chalk along with you." Kneel down there and with that chalk, draw a circle. Draw a circle completely around you and pray for God to send revival on everything inside that circle. Amen? Everything inside that circle, you'll have revival. Praise God. Revival starts with individuals. Amen? We don't call it up. We don't hire evangelists to come in. It's the heart that's got to be open. Lord, I want revival. Praise God. And here we find in this 29th chapter, a young man who becomes king of Judah at the age of 25. His name is Hezekiah. And his father was probably, if not the worst, one of the worst kings that preceded him. Established idol worship and all kind of things without getting into all that. He brought ruin upon Judah through war and the closing of the large temple. The nation of Judah was in desperate need. Its economy was wrecked. Its military was decimated. There was no courageous, godly leadership to restore the nation, especially as so long as this king lived. But he passed away, and his son ruled in his place at the age of 25. Let me read a few scriptures in the comment. First verse, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David, his father, had done. And if you go to the book of Kings, you don't have to turn to this. It says he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For into those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. How does it happen? How does it happen? A son that was raised by an evil king have such a godly heart. We know God is sovereign, and God was already preparing for Judah to come back to him. He works in the lives of everyone. Hezekiah's mother was the daughter of Zechariah, who advised King Uzziah and served as a witness for the prophet Isaiah. So no matter how bad your family tree is, what roots you came from, God is still able, and God is sovereign, praise God. And he makes a way, praise the Lord. Praise God. And in this account, I want to read on. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together unto the east street. And said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord, God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of our Lord, of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put on the lamps, and put out the lamps, and have not burnt incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is mine heart, in mine heart, to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, and his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and you should minister unto him and burn incense. He calls for separation. The first thing he did was call for separation. He gathers the Levites, the priestly tribe, reminding them of their duty and their responsibility. You know what's really sad is the Levites, the priests, should have gone to the king and said, King, please restore the temple. Please restore the burning of incense. Please cause this to happen. Open back up the house of God. But they were negligent. And the man of God, the king in this case, called them to task, to separation, for personal purity, praise God, to take away the things that were impure in the temple. Oh Lord, help us as we contemplate your word here this morning. Help us, Lord, to investigate, to evaluate ourselves. What is it, Lord, that we must do, praise God, in relationship to serving you? They were in a bad situation. Closed the temple, no prayer, no burning of incense. And the burning of incense was symbolic of prayers being lifted to God. Prayers being lifted to God. Oh, praise the Lord. That's where God wants us to be. In the area of separation, he talks about personal repentance, to clean out the things in their lives, examine themselves, to purify the temple, take the things that are impure, purify the temple. You read on in the chapter, purify those things. And here he's talking about the Old Testament shadows and types of the new. But the temple that we need to be concerned about is this temple right here. That God doesn't dwell in temple made with hands, but he dwells in these temples, praise God. And this is the temple that needs to be purified. The temple that needs to be purified and sanctified, praise God. Take away those things that are detrimental to the spiritual walk. Those things that cause us to go astray, praise God. Those things that are harbored in our hearts, possibly, that we need to examine, to just open our hearts and to have a purity of life, praise God. Lord, examine me in the light of your Holy Spirit, that you may speak to me, that it may open my eyes to the things I'm doing, that he may open my eyes to things that are detrimental, that are traps, are things that could lead me astray, are things that I'm harboring in my heart. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's hatred. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's lust. Lord, help me. Help me to examine myself. It's time to come clean before the Lord. That's what Hezekiah was saying. We got to get the place back in shape. We got to get the temple cleansed and purified. And that's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Purify yourself. Sanctify yourself. Allow, praise God, allow the Spirit of God to illumine your mind and cause you to devoid yourself of those things that are hurtful. Not only that, but corporate repentance. As a church, Lord, where are we? As a church, Lord, where are we spiritually? Is there a spirit of prayer? Is there unity in the body of Christ? Hard questions, but that's how the Holy Spirit can move. When the body of Christ is in unity, when hearts are knit together in love, when we embrace the same thoughts and ideas, we lift each other up, we pray for one another, we put aside the petty things that cause divisions, the petty things that cause us to look at one another strangely at times, and have a warmth, a love in our hearts and say, oh God, we got to draw together, praise God. We want your blessing. We want the Holy Spirit to move in our congregation. We want the power of God to come down, praise the Lord. We're not islands, but we're a body of Christ. And the body has to work together, fitly framed, the edifying of itself in love, praise God. The Holy Spirit wants to impress us and to strengthen us, praise God, by his power. And I say, Lord, help us and repent for prayerlessness. Stop burning incense. The doors of the temple were closed. We talk a lot about prayer, but do we do it? It's not just when we have a meal, not when we kneel down before going to bed, but prayer. Communion with God. Oh, Lord, would you help us? Would you help us, Lord, to be at the prayer meetings, to come prepared when we come into the service, do the preparation, whether we can come and join the small group in the back that prays before the service or whether we pray at home, it doesn't matter. But be prepared. Pray, Lord, have your way in this service. We're coming into the presence of God Almighty. And we're coming in with expectations. We're coming in prepared. Lord, take away the thoughts that distract me. Worried about tomorrow and this afternoon and what's going to happen and how am I going to handle this? Lord, let my eyes be fixed on Jesus. Amen. Let my heart be united with him in love, praise God, that you might work a mighty work in our midst, oh, praise God, that the Holy Spirit may move, the Holy Spirit may inspire testimonies and prayers and the word of God, praise the Lord, that will bring change, will bring revelation, we'll bring conviction, praise the Lord. We'll cause hearts and lives to examine themselves and say, oh, Lord, I need you more. Think of Brother Cole's testimony. I remember when his mom was the first one to come to church. And through his mom, his dad came, and eventually he came. And I remember we went to pray for him one time. It's many years ago, and he was in the hospital, and we prayed, and you know, you can tell how a person responds, and I'm not being critical of the brother. He didn't know what to expect. We never met him, you know, much before, but here these brothers are praying over me. I'm not sure I even understand what they're preaching or teaching. And as I recall, his reaction was a little lukewarm at the time, which I imagine mine would have been the same way. But you know what? God has a plan. God has a plan. He called his mom. Well, how did he do that? Well, she was friends with folks that lived near her, knew her. I think Sister Arlene and some others that knew her, and Karen and others that talked to her about the Lord, and she came to church. And God began to work in her heart. and apparently told her family, and her husband came and Cole came. And the Lord did a great work. Praise God. God is moving by His Spirit. His timetable and our timetable are not the same. And He works in mysterious ways, and He draws us from many different parts. I think of the many testimonies in this congregation of people that He brought from all over. Different states, different countries. Our brother, our founding pastor, Brother Adelini, had a mission trip to Italy, northern part, I believe, near the French border. And that's where the family, the Burt family, were introduced to the gospel. Now, why did God send him all the way over there to bring the good news of the gospel? Why did God do that? Because God had a plan. God was working. God caused them. And they, when they heard the gospel, they believed. And eventually they came to the United States. And the whole family came, and people were saved, and the Lord worked a mighty work. Praise God. God moves, does His own thing. But Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to be the tool in Your hand. Help us, Lord, to be prayed up. Help us, Lord, to be a church on fire for You. The Spirit of God may move. And here he's telling the Levites, he says, come on, brothers. Let's get the place in shape, if I could put it in those terms. Let's get back to, you have a responsibility. And it's for the leaders. The leaders, first of all, us brothers right here on this pulpit. Lord, help us to be the leaders You want us to be. The spiritual leaders that You want us to be. We're imperfect men. But we serve a perfect God. And we ask, Lord, would You purify us? And help us. And I want to extend that to the Sunday school teachers. You're handling the Word of God. You become part of the leadership of this church. You become an example. You become a testimony. To say, oh Lord, I want to see Your work progress. I want to be at the prayer meetings. I want to be at the Bible studies. I want the work of God to have its, to flourish in our congregation. Lord, put that within us this morning. That hunger and thirst, praise God, that we would see the Holy Spirit move. And you know, it talks about the leaders. I talk about the leaders, but the Word of God calls us kings and priests. Chosen generation, a royal priesthood. In Revelation, it talks about, and Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Praise God. We're all part of the priestly line because of Jesus Christ, the work that He did on the cross. And I say, Lord, would You help us this morning that we all band together. Praise God, that let revelation come. Oh, praise the Lord. A call for surrender. Sacrifice, the burnt offerings. And they call in the 20th verse, if you'll go with me to the 29th chapter, the 20th verse. It says, then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And go to me 27 and 28. And Hezekiah commanded to offer burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. He called for worship. Powerful praise. You know, we could be singing a song and not worship. Worship comes from the heart. Comes from inside of us. Worship. Oh, Lord. Help us to worship. Help us to worship in Your house. From a heart, Lord, that is a heart that is just broken. A heart that is so grateful. We sang, all my life you have been faithful. All my life. You've been so, so good. Amen to that. Praise God. Every one of us can say that's a testimony. That's true. Even when we didn't know him, even before we found Jesus Christ, or he found us, he was faithful to us. Praise God. And oh Lord, help us to worship, to lift our hands and to praise the Lord. Praise God. I see that in my mind, that battle that Joshua fought with the Amalekites when Moses went up on the mountain and raised his hands, and Aaron and Hur stood by each side and held his hands up in the air. And as long as his hands were in the air, Israel prevailed against the enemy. But when his hands went down, the enemy began to encroach. A sign, a symbol of dependence on the Lord. A worship to our God. Oh, Lord, we need you. We need you, praise God. We can't do it without you, oh, Lord. Oh, praise God. And sometimes we're so reticent and, you know, ashamed to raise our hand. That's what the Word of God calls us to do. Praise the Lord. To worship him. Praise God, oh, Lord. Here he's restoring the burning of incense, the lifting of prayers, and the worship in the house of God. Oh Lord, would you help us this morning that with our whole hearts we sacrifice unto you. Oh, praise the Lord. A total surrender unto him. You know, Paul writes in Romans, he said, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means denying the flesh, denying the desires that we have, examining ourselves in the light of the Holy Spirit. Saying, Lord, what am I doing? How is my heart? Am I sold out to Jesus Christ? Am I doing the things that please me only? God's not against the things that we do that we, you know, get involved in this life. It's when they take away time and energy and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You see, self-denial is a tough thing to do. Self-denial is, you know, we all want to please this flesh. This humanity, this carnal mind within us always desires to please itself. It always seeking for itself. It's selfish. That's the human nature within us. And God didn't try to change the human nature. He gave us a new nature, praise God, a new creature. In Christ Jesus, that we could enjoy and surrender to those things. But it is a constant battle with this old man, this flesh, this humanity, a constant battle to keep it subdued and that the Holy Spirit have control and dominion over us, that he would cause us to be that perfect tool in his hand. Oh, praise the Lord this morning. Oh, Lord, would you help us surrender our lives, give up, and let Jesus take over. Just let him take over. That's so hard to do, so hard to let go in our natural man. It's so hard to give control to someone else. But praise God, in Christ Jesus, we have someone who will strengthen us and help us this morning. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God, would you help us? And they sacrificed here as we read. Bring your sacrifice to the altar. What do I mean by that? It's not the sacrifice in the Old Testament of the bullocks and the goats and the bulls. No, It's the broken heart. It's a surrendered heart. It's, Lord, I belong to you. I belong to you. Lord, you're my everything. I want you to have dominion over me, praise God. Oh, Jesus, would you revive us again? Have you stopped and thought, we've been around for a long time. Church has been in existence for 100 plus years. Not because we're such great people, but we know it's because of God's love and his mercy he kept us. And in spite of ourselves sometimes, he took care of us and he sustained us. And I think, do we look back and say, you know, if we just prayed a little more, if we had more fire, if we would have consecrated ourselves a little more, if we would have had more prayer meetings or attended more prayer meetings or given ourselves, our lives to prayer, if we would have yielded and surrendered totally as God encourages us to do, how would we look today? How would it be different? How would God have worked differently? We've seen many people come and go over the years. We all have loved ones, children, grandchildren, who are out of the ark of safety that we pray for constantly. We lift them up before the throne of grace and we say, Lord, would you save them? Would you draw them back to the kingdom of God? Would you help them? Lord, would you, with cords of love, draw them? How would it look? How would we be? Would this place be able to contain? Would there be enough pews in this congregation? Well, we can't do anything about the past, Brother Ron. You're right. The past is done. But we can just certainly do something about right now and the future. Amen? We can certainly look ahead and say, oh, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? Would you send your Holy Spirit? Would you put a hunger and a thirst within each and every heart? That we yield ourselves unto the Holy Spirit and say, oh, Lord, I need you. I'm hungry for you, Lord. I'm desperate for you. I want you to work. I'm not satisfied with where I am. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessing. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for watching, for healing, for delivering. But I'm not satisfied with where I am spiritually. I want your presence. I want your presence in my life in a way that I haven't seen before. Oh, glory to his name. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Put a hunger and thirst. Get away from business as usual. Would things be different? Half of the congregation doesn't come back on Sunday night. Would things be different? We need more to attend the prayer meetings. Would things be different? Brother Ron, you're being real honest. Yes, I am. I'm being very candid. There's no hiding where we are. God sees our hearts. And we want God to move, praise God. We have been entrusted with the revelation of God's word. We've been entrusted with his presence, his Holy Spirit. God has worked mightily in our midst. He's been so faithful. And we want to see our loved ones come back. We want to see the work of God flourish. We want to see the Holy Spirit fall. We want to see revival. You know, I think of that revival. It's been several, many months now. I think it started in Kentucky. I forgot the name of the town. But you know how it started? As I read the description, is I think one or two people got up in front of the congregation and confessed their sins and began to call on the Lord. And all of a sudden, the fire of God spread. And people opened their hearts and began to cry out to God and worship Him. And began to call on the name of Jesus. And oh, the Holy Ghost fell. Can He do that right here? Is it possible God could work in our midst in such a way? Oh, yes. I'm not looking for, you know, notoriety. I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to move, for God to have His way. We're not just playing church. This is not something we do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. This is not it. Oh, no, this is our life. It's our life. It's a life dedicated to Jesus Christ, a life that we live to the best that we can. Lord, help us this morning because You are so good and so true. And Your promises are so real. We heard in the testimonies the beautiful things that God is doing. And you all have testimonies of what God's done in your life. And I say, Lord, oh, we want to see a great move of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Just as happened here in Hezekiah's day. Lord, would You do it today? As the time draws short, as His imminent return is coming, Lord, help us to be ready and help us, Lord, to reach out to the lost and to reap the testimony that goes out could bring others to the kingdom, to the foot of the cross. I love the words that Peter wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Oh, yes. That's our desire this morning. Amen. If you're on the fence, if you haven't fully committed, if you're just going along, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. He wants you to draw closer. I believe there are ministries here in this congregation that God wants to use. I believe that with all my heart. I feel that deeply within me. And some folks just got to let go and say, Lord, yes, I'll answer the call. I'll answer the call. Whatever it is, Lord, I'll answer the call. Oh, praise His name, praise His name. This is not a one-man work. This is God's work. God's going to do, praise God, great and mighty things. I pray the Lord encourage you this morning as we consider His word. I pray that He cause us to examine our hearts. Lord, where am I? Revive my soul. Move me closer to the kingdom. I pray the Lord help us. May His name be praised.